And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the beautiful state of Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. I'm looking at the text line real quick, too. Boomer, I see you've already welcomed in one of our newest texters, Kathy. That's Kathy with a K. Kathy from Madison. She's letting us know, too, there's a special election for city manager coming up in May in Madison, and she's with a group, a grassroots group called Don't Mess with Madison. We'll be finding out more about that in the days to come. The election apparently is set for May 9th, so there's part of our listening area has got a special election in May. Special elections are notorious for poor turnout, so you got to watch. Some devilish stuff happens in a special election. You got to watch out because people aren't paying attention. So anyway, thank you, Kathy. Glad to have you in the text line. What else we got in there? TL from Huntsville's already thanked us for the links to all the resources. So TL, appreciate you. Thank you much. What else we got in here? With regards to my monologue, Raven from Russellville just says, the oath I took many years ago still stands. I can, and I will fight for our God-given rights, liberty, and freedom. Enough said. Appreciate you, Raven. Thank you much for your service. Super Fi. And let's move. We got JT from Lacey Springs. He says, the music bumps are mostly older than Boomer. That's true.
Yeah, they are.
That's not hard.
Some of them, yeah.
That's right. That's because I'm an old guy and I like old guy music.
But I enjoy this music as well.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Boomer has eclectic taste. He knows music.
I do.
You do?
I do.
Worked in that music industry for a while. Tell him about music. Music's Boomer. Tell you what. Hey, all right. So number one of the Triple Dipper, which we're going to, you know, take all the way through the top of the hour. When Andrew Ford from ZLA Solutions gets here, you hear me talk about ZLA Solutions all the time, and I tell you they are my friends. Yes, they are. Andrew Ford has been doing an amazing amount, he and his company, at lining up jobs and people. And I thought, you know what? They see the trends. They know what's happening. They know what employers are telling them about having to get people in. Are they lowering standards? Are they raising wages? What are they doing? What are the trends he sees? And is it all in manufacturing? Is it across the board, blue collar, white collar, that kind of stuff? So we're going to talk to Andrew Ford at top of the hour. Here's an article, though. You may want to know, okay, where's Alabama stand right now? Where are we? Well, story on 1819 News came out yesterday. It says Alabama's unemployment and labor force participation rates remain unchanged in January. Now, unchanged is better than lower. You don't want that. Or getting off the cycle. But what it also means, though, is that we're running decent numbers, but we're flat. In fact, I take it back. We're really not running decent numbers on labor participation, and we're going to talk about that more in a minute. Here are the numbers. January unemployment rate in Alabama remained unchanged from December, 2.6%. 2.6% unemployment sounds really good. And I'm not gonna diss it. I'd rather have 2.6 than 3.6, that's for sure. And the labor force participation rate in January also remained unchanged at 56.7%. Huh. That's the one we don't like. Labor force participation rate. So here's the thing. Unemployment just means here's how many people are out of work and they are applying for benefits or that kind of thing. Labor force participation means how many able-bodied individuals are just either looking for work or not looking for work. Like, what percentage of Alabama that could work is choosing not to? And right now, only 56.7% of our potential workforce in Alabama is seeking or actively engaged in work. Huh. Well, that's really not good when you consider the national labor force participation rate is 62.4%. So we are running below the norms for the nation in terms of having a population that could work choosing to work. And by the way, I don't get that, especially when you consider that I own, you know, I have several jobs, it feels like. The law firm is right downstairs here from the studio. So every single day, Boomer and I are upstairs working in the afternoon. I've already spent the morning, you know, practicing law. And then, oh, by the way, early in the morning before that, getting this thing ready. And I'm thinking, where are the rest of you people that need to work? Because my understanding is the jobs are out there. And a 2.6% unemployment rate means we, you know, I would just say this. If you want a job, there's jobs available. I mean, is it you don't like the jobs that are available? Is it that you've lost your love for work? Are you still sitting home with a mask on, scared of COVID? What's the deal? Well, there's a variety of things. Okay, here's where Alabama sits, though, because some counties, some cities are stronger than others. Well, counties with the lowest unemployment rate, Shelby and Morgan are the two strongest. Shelby County, down there just south of Birmingham, Shelby County, 1.8%. Morgan County, up yonder by Decatur and all that area, 2%. And then Marshall, Madison, Limestone, and Coleman were all at 2.1. What that tells me, when you look at the confluence of those counties, Marshall, Madison, Limestone, Coleman, and Morgan counties are all contiguous. That whole region is the strongest region in the state for unemployment numbers. That's great. Counties with the highest unemployment, Wilcox County, which is where Governor Ivey is from. Wilcox County, 8.8%. Imagine, you're at 1.8% in Shelby County. You're at 8.8% in Wilcox County. I can't explain that. There are fewer opportunities there, apparently, but I still look at it and go, wow. Clark County at 5.9%, Dallas County at 5.4%. All right, how about cities? Those were counties. How about cities? Major cities with the lowest unemployment rate, Homewood, Madison, Alabaster, Trustful, Vestavia. And those were all in the ones. They were all mostly around 1.6 to 1.8%. So Homewood, Madison, Alabaster, Trustful, and Vestavia. Isn't that interesting? The municipalities, the counties with the overall best unemployment rates are all clustered in and around the Huntsville metro area, Decatur, Coleman, that area. But yet the municipalities with the cluster of best rates are down yonder, you know, south of Birmingham. That's kind of weird. Major cities with the highest unemployment rates. I feel like I'm just quoting numbers here. But anyway, Selma, 6.4%. Pritchard, down there by Mobile, 5.2%. And Bessemer, south of Birmingham, 4.2%. Okay, that's where we are as a state, all right? But the labor force participation, the actual question of who's looking for work right now, the number of people who either are working or looking for a job, well, it's shrinking. Here's an article from CBS. Once again, these resources are all available for you on our website. Go to the rightsideradio.org, go to the live stream page, scroll to the bottom of it. You'll see a button that says, you know, resources for today's show, and it takes you to all these links for all these stories. Well, the labor participation rate remains surprisingly resilient, it says, with the U.S. adding more jobs. I'm sorry, the labor market remains resilient, with the U.S. adding more jobs than expected in November. This article came out in December, by the way. And yet that job growth is masking a trend that's pressuring employers and the economy alike. Here's the deal. The labor force, it says, is actually shrinking. That means the number of people looking for or participating in a job, it declined by 186,000 from November to December of last year. What? Where did they go? 186,000 people just dropped out of the workforce. What the frick, man? How do you lose 186,000 people in a month? Well, granted, we have hundreds of millions, but still. Says the labor force participation rate, or the percentage of working age adults who have a job, fell to 62.1%. Now that's still off of pre-pandemic. All right. So it's like everything just got shook up during the pandemic and has yet to fully recover. It says the dichotomy of job growth, meaning there's more jobs out there, combined with a shrinking pool of workers, underscores the tensions facing the U.S. economy at this moment. The Federal Reserve wants to put the brakes on the economy, cool the labor market, yet employers are now pulling out all the stops to find workers, as many remain sidelined due to sickness and child care issues. And a lot of baby boomers are retiring. So what they're saying here is this. The economy's picking back up. More jobs are available. Fewer people are available for the jobs. It makes the employers then have to raise the wages and do other things to lure people back into the job force. More money flooding into the economy at a time when inflation is high means there's more people with money, less goods to buy. It just freaks out the economy. So the labor force participation rate becomes the driving force in what we're doing. You want to see a recovering economy? You see more people available to work. And when you have that even homeostasis between, oh, there's a great word, Boomer, where did that word come from? Something in my 10th grade biology class, I believe. When you find that homeostasis that levels things off between job availability and job force availability, then you begin to see economy starting to go, right now we got an economy that's still screeching like its brakes are getting old. All right. I feel like I need to take a break right now because I've overwhelmed myself with big words and lots of numbers. Let's do that. Boomer, take the break right now. We'll come back and keep talking about this. Labor force participation. What does that mean to us? Top of the hour, Andrew Ford from ZLA Solutions. We'll do it. See you then. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. I just got a text a minute ago from Steve from Owens Crossroads, and so apparently Steve and I are roughly the same age. He says, "Mr. Dr. Colonel Phil, you can say you are tenured, you can say you are experienced, you can even say you've been aged, but never ever say you're old." He says, "I'm an 81 graduate of the Huntsville City Schools, and I am not old." You are right, and you are actually just a little older than me, Steve from Owens Crossroads, but I'm an 83 graduate of the Huntsville City Schools, and okay, we're not old. I have grandkids, but I'm not old.
You're not old.
Awesome. All right, good enough. What else we got here? Let me take a look at the text lines. Brian from Huntsville, he says, "Job report. What about the differential where people take two or more jobs so as not to be parasites?" I don't know is he talking about me? I don't know. Maybe he's talking about me. John from Pike Road, he says, "Phil, the federal government paid folks not to work, plus many in their late teens, early to mid-20s just don't want to work." And he references again, remember John from Pike Road used to work for Goodyear. He says, "Take Goodyear in its prime, employed over 4,600. And this day and time, I doubt very seriously they could find that many that want to work." That's not a bad point, John. But you know what? I will say this. It part of it is culture. I had the monologue earlier. I said patriotism is learned. There are aspects of a work ethic that are also learned, and it's important that we bring that around. What else we got here? We've got a caller on the line, bud. I'll go ahead and just take it right quick before I start the next thing. Steve from Huntsville, let me talk about it. Steve, how you doing, man?
Good, Colonel. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about employment and stuff, and it's something that's been on my mind a lot. I'm a union plumber.
Yeah.
And, we do pretty good. We do better than the private sector and as far as getting paid. But here recently, to get kids interested in the trades, they actually went from starting pay at $15 an hour to $18 an hour because
really?
They just can't find them. And these are kids straight out of high school.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to have any experience, can't even read a tape measure. And, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know if everybody's living at home with mom or what, but you're talking about old. I'm just turned 50 last year. I got 5 grandkids, and I told my kids, hey, do I need to tell y'all how that happens? You can slow down. But people have some of them look down on the union because, yeah, we pay union dues and we do this. And I can tell you my union dues are $67 a month, but, what are people paying for insurance? Because I don't.
All right.
And I've got family coverage. So it really works out in the end. And you can't incentivize somebody to come in, and what they make an hour is actually what they bring home on their check minus their taxes, because our insurance is paid for on top of what we make and our retirement and stuff. is paid for on top of what we make. I mean, I've been with my current company for just over 5 years, and I was able to take a $25,000 loan out to buy a house last year. And every penny of that money came from my employer's contribution.
So let me ask you a question, though, about those kids you're talking about who are getting paid $18 an hour as opposed to the recent $15. When they come in, what are you seeing in terms of work ethic and capacity? Are you seeing you know, like a sharp type person who's ready to get to work and go at it and do what they got to do? Or are you having to even drag them into it?
It's really about 20% that anything in the trades is really just logic. I mean, you don't have to be great at math, but you have to be able to understand what a right angle is.
Yeah.
You have to be able to, you know, pull 12 inches and cut it 12 inches, not 13 and a half, please. But, you know, they just have to admit that they have to commit to a five-year program where they go to school, and they're in school the same time that the regular schools are in. So they get summer off. They go two, three nights a week. But during that time, as they build hours, they get acquire raises. And at the end of it, if they've held on and they've gone all the way through it, they come out a journeyman plumber. They make $31 an hour, and they could be 24, 25 years old. And you can go on the road and make that kind of money and then also get $100 a night per diem. And if you play your cards right, a lot of these guys will go buy travel trailers, and they'll drag them to a job site where they're going to be for a couple months and stay in it at, you know, $32 a night and pocket the rest of the money.
Yeah, you know, when I was in the legislature, one of the things, Steve, that I was able to do, I was a sponsor of a dual enrollment bill that let kids in high school also dual enroll in a tech program at a junior college and graduate with their certificate. They were leaving high school with a diploma and their entry-level certificate in electricity or electricians or in plumbing or pipe fitting, or for that matter, even in welding. Welding, go down to the boatyards in Austell, you're making $60 an hour sometimes starting off, and just being a welder.
Well, you get that just being an elevator technician. There's not an elevator technician in the country that makes less than $60 an hour. And every one of them are union.
Nice.
Well, it doesn't matter what elevator company you hire, they are going to be a union company.
But it's still got to have the want to. That's the thing. You still got to have the kids with the want to. So I guess with about a minute left here, let me ask you this. Are you seeing kids with the want to?
The want to, about 20% of them. I think that the biggest problem that we have right now is it's a construction site. Now, Colonel, you were in the military. And there are things that are said that would get you thrown in jail if you worked at a bank and said those things to a teller.
True.
And these guys, they do not have – there's a saying in the construction field, you leave your feelings in the truck.
And I get it.
If you come out there and somebody starts getting on to you because you've made a mistake, it's not personal.
There's no place for snowflakes.
Do better next time, and it definitely ain't no place for snowflakes.
Steve, I got to run, man. We're about to hit the break, but
I appreciate it.
Great call. Appreciate you. Thanks for being a listener. I agree. I mean, I think what he said though is something I was about to get to in my material. As we're heading into the break, I'll just tell you, one of the things that I saw in the source material that I've got for today's show is that in order to reach the people and get them back into the job force because the labor force participation rate is low, in order to drag them back into the labor force, you're having to see employers raise the amount that they will pay or the packages they'll provide. Otherwise, they can't get people. It's a conundrum. All right, we're going to talk to Andrew Ford from ZLA Solutions about this in a few minutes. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.